scriptures. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 4, verses 1 through 2, and continuing on at 6 through 9. Hear the word of our Lord. So now, Israel, give heed to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching you to observe, so that you may live to enter and occupy the land that the Lord God of your ancestors is giving you. You must neither add anything to what I command you, nor take away anything from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord your God with which I am charging you. You must observe them diligently, for this will show your wisdom and discernment to the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and discerning people." For what other great nation has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is whenever when we call him? And what other great nation has statutes and ordinances as just as this entire law that I am setting before you today? But take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and to your children's children. Our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 8, then leaping forward to 14 through 15, and then finishing at 21 through 23. Hear now what our Lord has said. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do you, your disciples, not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrine.' You abandon the commandments of God and hold to human tradition." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand, there is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Gracious and loving God, we have heard your word, and we ask, O Lord, that it would guide us and keep us, lead us and show us the path that your church, your children, are to take. We ask, O Lord, that you will guide and keep us as we seek to live out and live into this message that you bring this day. Guide the meditations of our minds and our hearts as we seek for your heart, for your guidance in our lives. In your blessed and wondrous name we pray. Amen. To be honest, there are just times when the Pharisees come across as just petty people. They just constantly seem to be finding something to complain about. They're like that family friend or that person you all know that no matter what happens, it's like, well, you know, it wasn't that good. You go see a performance and, well, it was all right, but I really didn't like when this happened. You go to a restaurant. The food was okay, but that dessert was terrible. You know, that person who always has to find that one thing. Some of you are smiling and you're thinking of that person, aren't you? Now, the reality is that in a lot of ways, it feels like you're out to dinner with kids, with them. There's always something going on, something wrong, and we need to understand that this isn't just pettiness on their part. This is theology for them. This is life and death belief for the Pharisees. They're not complaining like one sibling sitting down next to the other and them saying, so-and-so didn't wash her hands, Dad. Hi, Liam. It's not a case of that. It's a case of this is theology playing out, worship playing out in real time. And at times, yes, it seems really petty, but it's also theology. The fact of clean and unclean, washed and unwashed, is all about faith for the Pharisees. So while it seems petty, and seems like kids sitting at the dinner table elbowing each other or on a card ride poking each other, there's something very, very deep going on here. Today is about cutting up an onion, so to speak. You have the outer layers, but you really need to get beyond that outer hard layer of the onion if you're to ever have any true understanding of what's going on. I have a younger sister who sometimes when she cooked wouldn't quite get the whole outer layer going. And like with Scripture, if you don't get into that inner layer, it's a little chewy on that outer layer. So let's peel back our onion and understand that the realities of washing were all about what was commanded by the elders. It's not about washing your hands in the bathroom, you know, singing happy birthday or tops and bottoms, in between, you know, it's not about sanitation. It's not about cleanliness. It's about worship. When we look at this, we're worried about salmonella and all of the modern understanding about food preparation, cross-contamination. You can't use the same knife for fish and meat you can't use the same knife for fish and meat. We have an understanding about sick and tainted that is different than what Scripture talks about. Scripture didn't understand that germs were germs. They understood that washing was all about tradition and worship. What had been decreed so that you would be ceremonially clean, your food would be ceremonially clean. They didn't necessarily care about salmonella. They didn't know or care about uncooked pork or chicken. They didn't know. Think about this. It's the normal function that caused Ehud, the left-handed judge, to be such a odd candidate because his primary hand was ceremonially, continually unclean. It's that sort of washing and preparation that's at stake here. It's not about hand sanitizer, antibacterial soap. It's all about following the right teachings. It's all about two words, ritual and tradition. For the Pharisees and scribes, faith and practice boiled down to those two things. There is the law for them, the Ten Commandments, the book of Deuteronomy, the law spelt out for the people, how they were to live out. But then there was the appendices, if you will, the extra writings that allow people to live out their lives, supposedly. On the one hand, you have the statement saying, "You shall not," that comes from God, delivered by Moses to the people. And then on the other hand, you have the words of the scribes that interpret and add on to what God had commanded. See, there's a difference between what God had decreed and what they are upset about. Their second part of the law that they followed, was originally written as a guidebook, so to speak, for life. It was originally created to help people understand how you navigate tomorrow and the day after tomorrow and live out faithfully. When you read the book of Deuteronomy, it can be confusing at times. All the offerings, all the different types of offering. And so a handbook would have been very helpful if it had stayed a handbook. If it had stayed a piece that allowed you to live out faithfully, but instead it transformed into something more, something negative, something that was loved more than the God or the law that God had given. Think about this, and its original spelling out, you think about the law. You shall not work on the Sabbath. You shall keep the Sabbath holy. Well, what in the world does that mean? Well, the scribes would have said, it is this, 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 this. Oh, that's kind of lovely to have a little guidebook. But what happens if your neighbor is deathly ill and needs to be helped? Was there wiggle room in the words of the scribes? No. If it wasn't spelt out word for word in that law of the scribes, it was bad. Now, keep it holy. Honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Those very words of God. Imagine, what can be holier than helping your neighbor? What can be better than on the Lord's Day to serve the Lord through helping another? Who cares if it takes too many steps? Who cares? Because you're serving God in that moment. You're honoring the Sabbath by helping your neighbor. Think about that. You couldn't help your neighbor because it might be work on the Sabbath. Think about this. Growing up, I've talked on time about my West Michigan upbringing and how in certain areas of West Michigan, you can't go play baseball with your buddies at a field on Sunday. What can be holier than the laugh and joy of teenagers, of young kids playing baseball at a field on the Sabbath? What would give more joy to God, silence or the laughter of children? And yet, the rigidity of that place, Hamilton, Michigan, I'll call them out. You can't play ball on a field on Sunday. What in the world? The fact is, the scribes had taken the wondrous beauty of God's law and turned it into something that was as rigid as a stone, as unmovable and unbendable with the daily rigors of life. The problem was the scribes had lost the law for their own law. That's what's at contention here. What's at contention here is whether or not the disciples ceremonially washed their hands before they ate. Heaven forbid. Heaven forbid that someone who is hungry should have to take the necessary steps, the time of preparation, to wash their hands a certain way. Heaven forbid. The problem is that what they had done, what they had allowed to happen, was that this law that they had created had become for them more than the law of God. Their additions to the law, how they had interpreted the law, had become more to them than their God and their God's law. Their oral tradition had become their God. This is not a faux pas of theirs. This is not simply oopsie. But this is a challenge of theological proportions between the scribes and Pharisees and Jesus. But then Jesus takes a different turn, or perhaps takes a side road, so to speak. After he's condemned this tradition of the scribes and Pharisees, he goes off and talks about what comes out versus what goes in. You see, tradition, the tradition of the scribes, focused not on what you did and how you lived out your life as a person of God, but what you brought in and what you put in. Jesus gives this wonderful example. You know, during Jesus' time, there wasn't Social Security, there wasn't a retirement fund, you had your kids. I guess it worked. And then your kids, by the teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees, could pay the church a set amount so they didn't have to look after mom and dad. So they would give to God that which they would have helped to watch over and look after mom and dad. And the scribes and the Pharisees said, that's okay. He said, that's okay because you're giving it to God. Do you think God cared about that offering? Or do you think God cared about the commandment that the scribes and the Pharisees allowed to be broken about honoring your father and your mother? Think about that. That's how far their teachings had gone. Now, we could go down a rabbit trail and say somehow there was a Pharisee who didn't want to look after mom and dad, so he cooked up this, and who knows, it might have happened that way. But the fact is that what matters most, as Christ teaches, is what we do in our lives, how we live out our lives, how we live into God's commandments. His challenge to the scribes and the Pharisees is that they abandon the commandments of God and hold to human tradition. They abandon what God has said and set out, just for what humans had said. It's difficult to watch this fight spell out. It's hard to watch how wrong and lost the Pharisees and scribes have become. You think about this. the original intent of this law of the scribes and Pharisees was to help people live faithfully, live out faithfully. But it had become something that wasn't. It hurt their faith. Instead of helping someone live out faithfully, it hindered. Jesus talks about it becoming like a burden, like a weight on someone. He calls the law, this human-built law, a burden. The scribes had built a burden. This isn't about hands covered in schmutz. This isn't about any amount of fess on your hands or on your food. This is all about adding at the harm of your own faith. Choosing tradition over God. When we read Christ challenge the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and scribes, we need to understand the length, breadth, and depth of the issue here. It wasn't just an appendices that they had created. It was an alternate faith. It was something that pervaded and drifted people away from God. It not only harmed the scribes and Pharisees, but harmed the average person. This creation that Jesus takes on is all about a battle of faith. Question is, who is more important? And I know what we used to call the Sunday school answer in seminary is, oh, it's Jesus. But saying that it's Jesus is not as easy as making that pronouncement with ourselves. Knowing the right answer is not as important as being and doing the right answer. Jesus gives quite the harsh statement from Isaiah. You abandon the commandments of God and hold to human tradition. Think about that. You abandon the commandments of God. The very rule of law from God. The very living out day to day of what God had called his people to do, and you have abandoned it. It's actually quite sad when you think about it. You think about the time and effort that the Pharisees and scribes had thought they were putting into their lives, into their faith. And they were putting it in the wrong places. All of the hours the scribes spent trying to figure out how many steps you could take on the Sabbath before it was work. All of that time spent. All of that time spent by the Pharisees counting those very steps. Okay, got to stop here, sleep right here because it's too many if I go any further. All of that effort was all for naught. Think about that. They have poured their hearts and souls into this. And it has only drawn them further away from God. Stories like this can't help but make you feel like you're watching Macbeth play out. In real time, there's this tragedy playing out. These people are well-meaning people. The Pharisees wanted to serve God. the scribes wanted to follow God, and yet they have gone astray. They deserve not our frustration, but our pity more than anything. Their actions and their inactions deserve us to have maybe a little grace towards them. Because they were a people who fell down that slippery slope. A slippery slope that we too might fall down. The problems that they faced of loving tradition, elements and pieces of life, it's a challenge we face as well. We had a Reformation that dealt with a lot of that. Tradition dealt with so much. Tradition was so much. Tradition and the battle between faith and tradition has cost many thousands of lives. Look at the 30 years war in Germany and the destruction that it wrought over the fight over tradition and how we live out our faith. The fact is, just as the Pharisees and scribes can tumble down that slope, we too can. Brothers and sisters, the one governing fact that we have is not what tradition says, but what God does. How God leads us, what God leads us to do and be, how that hits us home, how we live out what God has shown us to be and to do. That's where we go. When we look at the scribes and Pharisees and how they went astray, it's a lesson for us, a temperature check, an oil gauge that lets us wonder where we are, what we are doing. Are we on the right path? Are we following where God wants us? Jesus shows us that the one gauge that matters is here. Actually, maybe it's down here. Those anatomy people can help me gauge where the heart is. The heart and where God is leading us through that heart of ours will keep us on the right path. But above all else, it needs to have its focus and its attention on God. Brothers and sisters, may we go forth and love and follow and serve Him. Amen. At this time, we'll have the doxology, and after the doxology, don't forget, as you